always been somebody who is very uncomfortable with the idea of New Year's resolutions. Some of it is because a lot of them are about weight loss, and I have a really weird relationship with that concept as a goal. But the older I got and the more I thought about how people actually experience motivation, the more I realized that New Year's resolutions are kind of inherently shaming. They're saying that who you were in the past year wasn't good enough. And so you need to change something fairly dramatically in the new year. And that's not often how humans are A, motivated, or B, work. And so it kind of sets you up for failure in a way, because first of all, we all have the jokes about, well, right, all your New Year's resolutions will be over by January 15th. So that already feels weird. But then we don't really have any concrete ways of understanding how to make healthy goals or whatever. And I already tipped my hat. So instead of resolutions, I like to think about intentions or goals. And goals are tricky things because you need them to be big enough that you're motivated to accomplish them, but small enough that you can actually accomplish them. So the way I talk about it is that my intentions are kind of the bigger, more ephemeral things. If I was running a business, they are my vision statement or my mission statement, things like that. My intentions are much larger, and they're often about the small or sometimes dramatic ways, but usually the very kind of small ways I want to reorient my life around something. And I know this sounds cheesy and like it doesn't convey fandom, but I'm getting there, I promise. So in order to operationalize my intentions, I come up with goals to help me figure out what that is. And there's a very, very, very popular business leadership strategic planning model called SMART goals. And it's an acronym, and SMART stands for five things that you should make all of your goals. Now there's a couple different words for each of the letters, but this is the vibe. And when I teach SMART goals, these are the ones I use. So all of your goals should be strategic. They should help you reach the intention or the overall thing. Like if your goal for the year is to read a ship you've never read before, if that's your intention for the year, then your goal shouldn't be to read more of the ship that you already read all the time, if that makes sense. So it needs to kind of be moving you in that way. A lot of goals, it's really helpful if they're measurable, if you have a way to do it. So when we talk about, you know, we're about to talk about writing and even some reading goals, and there's some really good kind of numerical metrics that can go along with this, but measurable is in a numerous amount of ways that you can do that. Then another one, and this is the most important, I think, for fandom in particular, is attainable. If you're somebody who has never written a fic before and you have a really big goal of getting 1,000 kudos on your first fic, a couple quick things. Making something attainable means that you have to be completely within control of the outcome of that goal. You actually, by the way, have no control over who kudos your fics or how many kudos you get. So you can decide a word count, and maybe you decide, oh, I'm going to write 100,000 words this year. Well, if you've never written 5 before, I'd probably say, maybe shoot for lower. You could totally blow us out of the water and do 100,000, or it could be something that turns out to be really kind of missed. So why don't we set something a little bit that seems more immediately attainable? They should always be relevant. Again, this kind of goes to strategic. And then they should always be timely. And make sure that you're not having a goal about reaching something that is going to happen in 5 years, when really the thing you should have a goal for is the first step in a way. If you're building blocks, you have to have a foundation before you kind of go from there. So how this works for me, I'll get into in a little bit in our next section when we talk more about our goals. But I use this rubric a lot in my professional life and also in my fandom life. I am fairly disciplined in my fandom life, and I'm fairly disciplined kind of in the rest of my life of how I manage my goals. Even though I feel like a cyclone of chaos, I'm told by many other people that I'm pretty disciplined. So I think it's a sliding scale in that way. So SMART goals may or may not work for you, but the thing that I would ask you to consider the most is this idea of intentions and resolutions. And are you deciding on something that you're essentially setting yourself up to not achieve? And why are you doing that? why are you setting the goal that you are setting? Are you setting it because you know, other people are setting the same thing and you feel like you have to? You can't really know how to accomplish what you want to accomplish until you know what you want to accomplish. It sounds so basic, but so many of us just rush into the planning of things without taking a step back and thinking about why we're doing the thing in the first place.
So I have a slightly different feeling about resolutions or about the sort of starting things in the new year, because I'm one of those people that I'm a completionist. I like things to feel finished. I like bookends. And the end of the year is also generally my most chaotic time of year. And if there's anything I've been working on or trying to maintain, it's always going to fall apart in December. So for me, I like that January is a new agenda planner. It's a blank, clean calendar. It's a fresh spreadsheet. And you can start something knowing that you may not go the whole year, but if I start something in May, I definitely can't have done it every day all year. So I like to be able to start things on January 1st with the intention of doing it however frequently I've asked myself to do it. And even if that's not maintained, it doesn't feel like I've lost before I've begun. So that's sort of my relationship with the idea of a goal setting being a New Year's thing to do. And generally, I have found that refresh of the new year of saying, okay, you know what, whatever happened last year, we're going to forget it because we're starting over. And here's our intentions for this year. And this is the foot that we're starting off on. For me, that's a positive thing that I have a positive relationship with. But I also wanted to add another goal building concept, and sort of two things go hand in hand for this. The idea of Lego goals or building block goals. So if you have, and this sort of expands on the idea of taking a larger intention and breaking it into smaller goals. You can also take a larger goal and break that into smaller goals that ramp up as time goes on. So you may have a goal of writing, say if we're talking about writing, because here we are in Creator Corner, let's say you have, you'd like to write 100,000 words for the whole year, but currently your daily output isn't enough that if that was your average for the whole year, you'd be able to do it. But if you start January with an amount that is attainable for you now, and February you challenge yourself a little bit more, and March you challenge yourself a little bit more than that, you can build your way up to your ultimate goal without setting yourself an unattainable goal right from the start. The other way that Lego block goals can work is to use small pieces of goals to build a larger type of goal that encompasses many smaller things. So for a real life example, if you wanted to say, I want to clean my whole house every week, your January goal might be that every Monday you scrub the toilet. And you do that for a little while until it becomes a habit. It feels comfortable. It's something that you can do regularly. It doesn't feel like a challenge anymore. And then you say, okay, Mondays I'm going to scrub the toilet and Tuesdays I'm going to clean the kitchen counters. And that's how you can kind of build yourself up over time to a place where you're accomplishing a suite of goals that create that larger intention of having a regularly cleaned house, for example, and you can apply that to lots of other things. In addition to the idea of these building block goals that fit together to form your ultimate goals, there's also, I like to think a lot about what the impediments are between me and the goals that I want to achieve, and ask myself if those impediments can be removed or altered, if I can restructure my life in some way to make them possible. So some concrete examples of that, I hope this doesn't gross you out, but this is one of my favorite personal ones. I work outside for a living. I go through a lot of socks in a day. I change my socks a lot because I sweat. And if it's cold outside, you know, your socks get icky or they get cold, or it's just, you know, you need new socks. And I used to always come in the house into my mudroom and I'd want to take my socks off right there because my feet were so uncomfortable. And I would put them by the shoe rack being like, I'm going to come back and get them. but I never did. And so I'd always end up with this little pile of socks, and it drove me crazy. And I'm sorry if you're picturing my house now full of socks, but that was kind of the reality. So instead of trying to make myself become a person who takes her socks and walks all the way down to the laundry and puts them right in the laundry, I said, what's the real problem here? It's not that I take my socks off in the mudroom. It's that I then just throw them in the shoe rack and we end up with all socks mixed in with shoes and it's gross. So I went to the dollar store and I bought myself a little basket and I put it next to the shoe rack. And now I peel my socks off, I put them in the basket. And then when I do laundry, I swoop by the basket and I dump all the dirty socks in the laundry. So you don't necessarily have to change who you are, and your resolutions don't have to be accomplished the same way that other people's resolutions are accomplished. Your goals don't have to follow the same path as other people's goals. Some of goal setting is saying, who am I? What is my life like already? Can I take some of the things that I want to do or some of the person I want to be and realign things or change the layout of my house or take my laptop to a different part of the house when I'm writing or whatever it takes to make those things feel more accomplishable for you?
And I think this particular year has been a really interesting, a really interesting experiment for a lot of us. And let me say, everything Ferret said, in some ways, I totally agree with and totally works. And I'm sure she resonated with some of the things that I'm saying. So if you think that what we just said are really opposite things, just remember that everyone's human experience, especially with things like goals, are really on a spectrum. And the most important thing that we just said, to drill down, by the way, is that you need to do what works for you. And you need to be able to do what works for you for a whole host of reasons, including that unless your motivation is internal, often it's going to be very difficult to get anything accomplished. So you kind of have to do it within you. But this year has been really, how many times have we all had to change our goals throughout the year? Because we didn't have control over a lot of our circumstances. And I know for me, one of the lessons this year was that I set out to write more words in 2020 than I had in 2019. Because I figured in 2019, I started in May and I wrote 557,000 words between May and the end of the year. And so I was like, oh, well, I have five more months in 2020. A lot of things about my life were going to look really different. I was going to be traveling in different rhythms and I thought I was going to be able to write a lot more. And then I don't know if you heard, but I started a podcast with this pretty cool Canadian girl. And then we had a minor global hiccup.
A minor global hiccup.
And then I got selected to be part of the MTH team. None of those things existed in 2019.
Yep.
And so I needed to completely rewrite my word count goals. And this might seem really bizarre and really kind of petty, which is entirely possible, but I was getting legitimate and regular anxiety over not meeting my daily minimum.
Yeah.
And I said this to Ferret and I was just like, I should just change my goal. Shouldn't I? Like, this is unnecessary anxiety for a thing I can control. And so I literally just changed the number on a spreadsheet and my anxiety went away.
I think it can be really challenging, especially when these are goals that have to do with fun. Like these are goals that are about feeling improvement within our hobby or engaging with fandom community or something like that. These are all voluntary endeavors. Nobody's life is dependent on it. The well-being of you and your family is not dependent on it, except obviously there's a mental health factor with enjoying your hobbies. But if the goals that you have set are having a negative impact on you or they're negatively affecting your mental health, and these are goals that are supposed to be for something that is fun for you, because as we say repeatedly on this podcast, fandom is about finding joy. It's about having fun. You are here to have a good time. And if you are not having a good time, you absolutely do not need to maintain the goals that felt attainable in January all the way through the year, you know, and pandemic hits in April and you need to adjust that shit. And that is totally valid.
Yeah. And even outside of fandom, like we both own businesses. I think we adjust our goals every quarter, if not every week, if not every day. Like things just happen and you can't control them. And it's one of the reasons that when Farrah was talking about the basket of sock thing, I have a couple examples of that in my own life, of being very realistic about my own limitations. And for me, they are a little bit more, the couple examples that always come to the top of my head are a little bit more about recognizing that I can't change other people. And I can't make them see my worldview my way, or I can't. So there's been a couple of times where I've had goals of, you know, reconciliation with people, or goals of really joining somebody on a project, and I can't control the other human being.
Right.
And so I had to be really emotionally flexible. Recognizing that something is toxic in your life is sometimes the slowest revelation of your existence. And sometimes this is one of the reasons that I'm a huge believer in community and vulnerability within it, because I didn't really even recognize why I was so stressed about the word count until I was complaining to multiple people in fandom that I wasn't writing enough. And somebody, and it might have been you, Farrah, I can't remember. It may have been Heather, I don't remember. But somebody just said, "What is enough?"
Yep.
And I was like, oh shit. I had gotten so into my hamster wheel of goal of I have to achieve, that I needed somebody to come along and be like, pause, this isn't right. And so we needed a recalibration, and that's what a lot of it is. But I think it's incredibly difficult. Now, obviously, I use the word toxic for my word count, like it wasn't really toxic, but there are things that we all do in our lives, relationships, decisions. I've talked to a lot of people this year that realized that trying to do a college during a pandemic was going to be toxic. And so they took a year off. You know, there's a lot of this kind of stuff. Part of goal setting is trying to figure out and be attuned with yourself enough that when the goal is becoming detrimental to you.
And we also don't have to completely abandon things just because we've realized that either the goal itself or the way we were attempting to achieve the goal is causing a problem. If coming back to the word count again, the spreadsheet that Flame and I both use lets you put in a goal amount for each month, then it racks up to a goal amount for the year. And you can just go in and change it. And it doesn't have to be a challenging amount. It can be the amount that you know you're already hitting. In fact, when I very first started tracking my word counts, I figured out what my average was, just based on what I had done in a period of time. And I set my goal to exactly my average. So my first goal was maintenance, and the positivity and a feeling of accomplishment and the personal achievement that you get from meeting a goal makes you more likely to continue pursuing goals. So as we're talking about choosing goals, specifically choosing numbers, choosing dates, choosing lengths of time, it can often be more beneficial to you to, and this is coming back to that A in the SMART, the attainable idea. It can be more beneficial to you to choose a lower number that you know you can reach. So you stop, because it's so easy to end up in a pattern of avoidance, even if it's not causing you anxiety. If you're avoiding, like, oh, I don't even open the spreadsheet. I don't even open my docs because I know I'm only going to write 300 words and my goal is 700. It's like, okay, make your goal 300 words. Meet your goal for a period of time. Enjoy being somebody who's meeting their goals. And then maybe you set it to 350. It doesn't have to be a huge leap. It has to be what you can achieve. And that if you make that gap too wide, you're setting yourself up for that negative impact of the goals on your life, no matter what. It is just going to become a perpetual source of anxiety. And then what was the point of doing it in the first place?
Yeah. And honestly, be gentle with yourselves. I type this a lot in Discord, but I don't think I've hammered it home on this podcast a whole lot. So let me be, you know, anti-flame for half a minute. Everything's really hard. And yeah, even when things aren't a massive pandemic and the world has no idea what it looks like the next day, a lot of our lives are hard. And being harder on yourself than necessary doesn't do anything but make your life harder. I promise you, even though it may not feel like it, you're doing the best you can, at least a chunk of the time. And that's really all we can ask. Mm-hmm. So just like, be gentle with yourself. You are a human being having a human experience, and that's awkward and disappointing and overwhelming. And there are days that adulting is the literal worst thing any of us can be forced to do. And it just is what it is. And so just my God, just be gentle with yourself. I swear it'll change your life.
So now that we've talked a bit about sort of the concept of goals and how to approach goal setting, and obviously we're not dropping numbers, we're not going to tell you what your goal should be, because I hope that what you've gathered so far is that that's really personal to you. But also throwing back to what Holly was just talking about in the awesome interview about writing groups, is sometimes your goals can be encouraged, or you can help define your goals by having friends who are working towards similar goals. Your numbers don't have to be the same. Ashley and I have both been using that word count spreadsheet for a long, long time. And I don't think we've ever had the same number on the sheet, but from, you know, only a few months, I think, into our relationship, we were both using it and we're talking about it and encouraging each other to hit our mins, even if they were different mins, and working on collabs together to try and help each other hit mins and stuff like that. So you can use the community, you can use your friends, you can use people in your groups who are also setting goals to help you choose your goals, help you maintain your goals, and support you when your goals are bringing you back down, or be that person who says, girl, you need to lower that number.
just pause. Yeah.
But moving on from talking about the goals in a theoretical sense, we just wanted to run down a couple of tools, and we will link everything in the show notes as well. But we just wanted to talk a little bit about some of the specific tools that we and people we know use to track goals or keep on top of their goals or record their goals.
A lot of these are going to be about writing, because obviously that's our primary identity within this hobby. But I'm also a massive reader of actual books and fanfic simultaneously. And so one of my goals every year, and I'll talk about this a little bit more, is always to be very intentional about some of the traditionally published works that I read and making sure I'm being as diverse as I can be. And one of the best ways I've discovered to keep track of that is not Goodreads. I don't keep track of anything Goodreads except if I've read something. But Book Riot, which is one of my favorite reading websites, puts out a downloadable Google Sheet every year that helps you track a lot of different categories of things, and you can customize it however works for you. So I've linked that in the show notes. What I really appreciate about it is that it lets me look at the end of every month and say, huh, I have not been reading a whole lot of people of color and I'd like to do that. Or, oh, I really need to read more translations because that was one of my goals. And so it helps with those Lego kind of bits. It's part of making sure that my SMART goals are on track. And it's the only really reading resource I know to keep track of things consistently that has worked for me or anyone I know. So we're going to shift now to talk about more writing stuff, but I did want to let you know, for anybody who's listening, that there is this reading tracker web resource as well, and you can totally use it to track fic. It would not be difficult at all.
So you hear me talk about the writing tracking spreadsheet a lot, and we are finally going to hook you up with that. It is made by a Tumblr blogger called Trice Laura, and they've been doing it for a couple of years. It's a fairly complicated looking spreadsheet. There's lots of tabs, there's lots of cells. It's colorful. And I will be honest, it takes a little bit to get it set up the first time. There are instructions. I highly recommend reading the instructions and following them carefully. Unless you are very experienced with how spreadsheets work, if you're not sure what you're doing, you could potentially break a formula and it's not going to be working right for you. So I really recommend that you put the effort in to get it all started at the beginning of the year the way that you want it to be. And then after that, it's simply a matter of updating the total word count of each story or piece that you're tracking. So you end up with a column for each story. And all you need to do is say, hey, Google Docs, or hey, Word, what's my total word count right now? You pop that word count in for that day and it will say, hey, you've added 324 words to this story today. And it keeps track of your averages. It keeps track of your months. There's little graphs, there's charts. If you like, if you like basically anything a spreadsheet can do, then you're going to like this spreadsheet.
It's so funny. I've never separated it out by story. I just do my total, my running total all the time.
Well, that's, then you didn't follow the instructions.
I did not follow the instructions. Absolutely not. So I will need to do that this year because I did not that nifty trick of it.
Yeah, it's
guys. Don't worry.
If you lined it up that way, the nice thing is that you don't have to do any math. You just tell it what your current total for that piece is. And you don't have to add it to your current total for any other piece. And then when you finish a piece, you just hide that column. And so you only have your active columns going at any time, which for me is like 42 columns, but we don't need to talk about that.
That's a separate thing we'll talk about in the next section about 2021 goals. Yeah.
But it also means that at the end of the year, you can open up all the columns and see how many pieces you worked on that year, which is pretty fun too.
Oh, yeah. No need to be more intentional in 21 to format it properly.
Yeah. And for everybody listening, as I said, I've been using this spreadsheet for a long time, and I'm also fairly adept with spreadsheets. So if you end up using this spreadsheet, please don't hesitate to ask me if you get stuck. I don't know how available Trislora is, and they're not in our fandom. Not that that would be a reason not to talk to you, but they share this pretty widely, and I don't know how much they get poked about it or how available they are to answer questions. I've never asked, but I am comfortable with the spreadsheet. And if you need help setting it up for the first time, I am more than happy to do that with you. Once you're going, it's very easy, but I will say it's a bit of a learning hump at the beginning getting it started. And I don't want anyone to be turned away who really wants to use it just because they look at the instructions and go, oh, this is too complicated for me. First of all, it's not too complicated for you. You can do it. And second of all, I will help you. I will say,
Eric's love language is spreadsheets. I'm not joking. There is almost nothing she loves more on this planet besides her animals than spreadsheets. So please let her help you.
Yes.
Do not hesitate. She really does want to.
It won't be a burden at all.
No.
I will say that at the time of recording this, the 2021 version of the spreadsheet has not been shared by Trislora. They are still active, so I'm expecting them to share it near the end of the year. It's usually right around it in the last like 10 to 15 days of December we get it. But I also assume that they're quite busy or things may have been affected by the pandemic. So we will see when that comes out. It may come out in early January. So you may want to keep track of those first couple of days for yourself if the spreadsheet isn't available yet. If they choose not to share it this year, I will make a 2021 version, hopefully with their blessing, and share that. However, if I don't have their blessing, I'm going to have to share it privately with people. It's a small change to make it 2021, but you can also, if you know what you're doing, grab the 2020 version and just make it 2021. But yeah, that is my favorite piece of writing toolage.
And within that, one of the ways to accomplish minimum word count, or min as we've often said it on this, is sprinting, which is a really common thing in a lot of Discord servers. The pod server does not have a sprinting channel, but the other one that we mod together with Moody Bear, which is the STB Discord, has a sprinting channel. Sprinting is really simple. You can do it for anything. I sprint multiple times a day for multiple projects, because one of the principles behind it is actually something called the Pomodoro method, which is the idea that concentrating on something for 20 minutes is a really good way to give your brain a chunk of time to focus on something that doesn't feel exclusionary to the rest of your to-do list. So if you say, I'm going to do something for 3 hours, that feels really overwhelming. You may not accomplish your entire list in that 20 minutes. You're not supposed to. You're supposed to look at your entire list and pick 1, 2, 3 things you can accomplish within those 20 minutes and focus on that and work until the timer ends. And that's that. That's the Pomodoro method. And it is entirely how I exist in my professional life. Sprinting is the same. You are going to write that fic. You're not going to check Discord. You're not going to, you know, fuck around on Tumblr. You're not going to do anything else. You are going to either draw the work that you're drawing. You are going to work on the rec list that you're working on. You are going to work on the fan vid. You're going to write for 20 minutes until the bot ats you or until your personal timer goes off. I sprint a lot, not often with people. I know lots of people find a ton of encouragement in doing that. it can be hit or miss for me. There's a couple people I like to sprint with, but the general sprinting in a channel doesn't always just, I don't have any idea why it doesn't always work for me. So, but the principle behind the timing of sprinting is very helpful to a large part of people. So without any of these other tools that you've got, you have sprinting as long as you have a timer on your phone. You've got sprinting. So feel free to avail yourself of that.
Also, if you Google timer 20 minutes or something like that, Google will just start a timer for you. So if you need, if you want to have like another tab open, you don't even have to like find a timer website. Just ask Google, set a timer for 20 minutes and it'll give you 20 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, the answer to all of our stuff is going to be ask Google. But you can have Alexa set a timer, you can have Siri set a timer, you can have your annoying roommate set a timer. There's a lot of ways to set a timer.
There's also sort of in relation to the Pomodoro method, which is generally, I think it's like 20 minutes and a 5 minute break and 20 minutes and a 5 minute break is like the idea. And if you could cycle through different projects for those 20 minutes, then you're going to get stuff done.
And then after every 2 hours, you take a 20 minute break. Yeah. There's a pattern to it. Yeah.
There's a whole bunch of different patterns. I used to do when I was in college, I used to do what I called doing 20s, which is basically the same concept, but I would do 20 on and 20 off. So especially if I had like a binge thing to do, like someone was coming to visit and I had to clean the whole house or I had an essay due the next day, in order to get it done without feeling like I was going to keel over, I would do 20s. So I do 20 on working on it hardcore and then a full 20 minute break to do whatever I wanted and then 20 minutes working on it and just do it till it was done or until I hit some sort of time deadline.
Yeah, and I don't.
Yeah, that's a similar.
I don't pay attention to the 5 minute thing between it just because my life doesn't allow for that. So I don't do like perpetual 20 minute cycles or anything throughout the day, but when I'm going to set that timer, like that's a really important way to knock through my list.
Yeah. And 20 minutes specifically, it's not a random amount of time.
No, it's
enough time to get your brain engaged, but it's not so much time that, you know, the humans actually can't stay 100% focused for very long. And if you push it much longer, even if you feel inclined to, if you push it for longer than 20 minutes without at least having that moment of it's over, oh, okay, good job. You can always go again, but 20 minutes is a great place to hit that peak of your brain where it's just in absolute perfect flow and without hitting a point where you're actually running into a wall and your brain is saying, I need to breathe for a minute. So there's a reason why most systems do sprints in 20 minutes. And you should listen to that. There are a couple of other tools that that I don't necessarily use a lot, but I know other people do use. One I wanted to give a shout out to is Google Tasks. I know a couple of people who use this method, including Copper Badge, who you guys might follow on Tumblr. You can actually open a Word document in Google Docs, and on the side, if you hit the little tasks button, it'll open a side view where you can write out tasks. So you can write out goals for that piece. You could write out deadlines for it. It could be your to-do list. You can use it to outline as well, but there's also built-in outlining functions. But the tasks let you put in goals and check them off. So let's say you're writing for an event like a big bang and you have a set period of time to accomplish a minimum word count. You could use the tasks to say, by this date, I want to be at this word count. And then when you get there, you can check that part off. So that's less of like an everyday thing necessarily, but maybe a project specific thing. And for some people, having that to-do list attached right to the project they're working on is going to be their sock basket. That's the thing that's going to make it so that they're not fighting against their own system, having to open a separate to-do list or have a separate spreadsheet somewhere. If you have it right there, stuck right on your project, that might do it for you. Less for goal planning, but you can still kind of do this using Scrivener. It allows you to take notes in a similar way. So if you use Scrivener for planning your fix, you may want to start thinking about how you can incorporate some of that for goals as well. Trello is another tool that lets you sort of do post-it notes. So if you think that way on boards, then you can set up your goals on Trello as well. You can apply dates to those and have everything in one place.
That's, I know Marie really uses that, who does our events for class. Like, she really likes Trello. It's like an online cork board, I always say.
Yeah, that's exactly what the
kind of move things around. This is the same. Like, a lot of people have private Discord servers, and they'll set up entire servers that are to-do lists. And that's not like an automated or active thing unless you've got bots. But Trello isn't either. So they're kind of all in the same, it just depends on how you process information category.
Yeah, and this comes back to that question of don't get in your own way. In addition to setting goals that suit you, setting smart goals, you also want to manage your goals in a way that doesn't get in your way, doesn't make it harder to accomplish them. So if you're not a pen and paper person, then making a bullet journal, while fun, might not actually help you accomplish your goals. If you
are, maybe you're a hybrid person. I need technology and handwriting.
Yeah, I use both as well. And I'm also someone who uses lots of different devices, even within the same hour I'm moving from device to device. So I need to make sure anything I'm using to do project management or goal management is accessible on every device that I use. So that's a key thing for me. It may not be a key thing for you. Maybe for you, it's the pad of paper on your desk. It's buying a fresh agenda planner each year. So don't get in your own way. And that's why we're talking about a bunch of different kinds of tools, because instead of using them all, you should check them all out and then say, okay, this one's my sock basket.
And also remember, different things work at different times of your life too. So if something isn't working anymore, it's not that something is wrong with you. It's that the world has shifted, your brain has shifted, tasks have shifted, try something else. Yep. There's not a way to organize your life. There is the way that works for you. And evolve, you're allowed to.
There are several project management softwares, many of which are free. I use Todoist, which lets you make to-do lists and divide them up by projects. I have like 3 jobs and like 85 personal projects on all the time. So I divide my to-do list up amongst all my different projects. And I actually favorite the projects that I need to work on that day. So instead of flipping through all of my to-do lists all the time, I'm looking at the ones that are most critical to my immediate moment. And that works for my brain. And it's an app that works on all my devices. So I've been using Todoist for a while, and I really like it. You can also use software like Toggle, which also lets you keep track of how much time you spend on each thing. So if you're an artist and you want to set goals that have to do with how long you're drawing for, Toggle might suit you very well. You can make a list of projects. You can record how much time you're spending on each project. And much like the word count tracker, keep track of your total time arting in that way.
And this is a really good place to bring up a principle that I live my life by, which is that brains are for having ideas, not for keeping them.
Especially mine.
Especially ferrets. I wasn't going to say it, but.
Oh, I felt you feeling it.
There is no shame in not being able to remember things, because your brain is actually not built that way. All this Sherlock Mind Palace bullshit aside, the biggest power of your brain is creating and processing information, not holding it. And we live in an era in which you can unload that information into any number of things. So get it out of there, so you got more space to do what your brain does best. I am a giant fan of bullet journals. It has worked for me, but none of my bullet journals look like most other people's. I don't do colored pencils. I don't have stickers. I don't understand the point of stickers. They just take up space where I could be writing things. So it all works differently for you. I used Todoist and it didn't work for me at all. And I had to scrap it. I used it for about 6 months and it just frustrated me. And so I deleted the app and tried something else. I love Trello, which Ferret can't stand. So just, you know, keep this all in mind.
There are some other, I mean, if you just do a Google search, project management software or free project management software is a great way to start exploring what else is out there, because a lot of those are going to be the kind of thing that you need to do to keep track of pretty much anything in your life. Even if you don't think of fandom or events you run or even cleaning your house like a project, the tools that are built for project management make goal setting easy, make to-do lists easy, make dates and scheduling easy. So for a lot of people, something that's marketed as project management is going to hit you where you need it.
Yeah, just make sure to include the word free, because some of those softwares are hefty.
Yes, you do not want to buy the ones that are marketed at businesses for them to buy for their own.
Yeah,
lot of the ones that are not completely free for everybody are free for anybody who's using it for personal use or only one user via instead of versus shared amongst the whole business. So a lot of them, they're free. They have a free version that's one user, and that can be you. So poke around, do some research. There's a lot of cool stuff out there.
There really is.
There's also, if you've ever done NaNoWriMo, which is National Novel Writing Month, it runs in November, and they do have a website. If you sign up for NaNo, you get to use the website. And it has a word count tracker built into it that you can use for NaNo, but you can also use other times of year. If you've got a particular project that you want to work towards, the NaNoWriMo system is a good way to do that, especially if you maybe want to participate in NaNo or Camp NaNo, which runs in the summer, and sort of start there and then continue using the system after that. It's a website worth checking out as well. And last but not least, AO3 has a statistics page. Not everybody actually knows this. Even if you've been posting on AO3, you might not have noticed there's a button on the side that takes you to your stats page. It tells you how many user subs you have, how many total kudos, how many total hits, how many total words, which is fun. But you can also click on a specific year and it will give you your stats for that year, except user subs, which it does not tell you how many you got for each year. No matter what year you click on, user subs is always your sum total of user subs. So I don't know why it does that. I guess maybe I should make a bug report. I don't know if it's intended to work that way, but it does. Everything else it tells you for that year. I should clarify, the way that it defines a year is the pieces that were posted in that year. So if you get kudos on old fics that were posted in 2016, if you get a kudos in 2020, it counts towards 2016, because all it does is add up the total of all of the pieces that were completed or were last updated in that year. So if you're someone who cares about certain types of specificity, that may not suit you, but it can tell you how many words you posted in a given year. And I prefer to count how many words I wrote in a given year, but if you like just going with posted, then AO3 keeps it for you right there.